A Single Snowflake by Judy Lloyd. Read by Skippy. He stood silently in the shadows, impervious to the cold. He had stood in the small clump of trees for quite some time now, watching the frozen pond, scanning the landscape around it, searching for any movement. Now at last he was satisfied, as sure as he could be that he was alone. Though he had examined the small frozen surface earlier in the week and found it to be solid, last night's snowfall and sharp dip in temperature had made him confident that the pond was indeed ready. Quickly he made his way to the edge, and with one last glance at the frost-covered shoreline, he took a seat on an old log and exchanged his boots for a pair of slightly battered but sturdy skates, their blades sharpened to perfection. Cautiously he rose and glided slowly out almost to the middle. The ice held as he knew it would, its surface amazingly smooth. Then gaining speed, he skated once, twice, then three times around the pond, coming at last to rest on the log again. Beneath the hood of his heavy cape, he smiled, his thoughts creating mental pictures of her fair hair and lithe figure. Her hazel eyes mirroring, he hoped, delight at his plan for Christmas Eve. Then quickly he removed his skates and fastened his sturdy boots. And now, as silently as he had arrived, he disappeared into the shadows, his boots leaving scarcely a trace in the newly fallen snow. "Vincent, come here," Jamie motioned from the entrance to her chamber in a stage whisper. With a glance over one shoulder, he smiled at her, thinking what a lovely young woman she was becoming, and that if he could have chosen a little sister, it would have been her. "Look, Vincent, see how nicely they turned out," she said proudly. They were a pair of white leather ice skates, now polished to a snowy luster, their silver blades shining in the glow of the many candles that lit Jamie's chamber. With some amazement, Vincent carefully held the skates in his downy hands, fingers carefully tracing the fine old leather of the boot tops, then the newly sharpened blades. "They look almost new, Jamie. You and Mouse have done a wonderful job restoring them. But do you think they will fit?" he asked a bit anxiously. "I know they will, Vincent. They're the same exact size of the boots Catherine gave me, and they were a pair of hers that she said didn't go with anything any more." "But they did," she thought silently. "She only brought them to me because I admired them and said they matched my green skirt. And if I had a big sister, I'd want her to be just like Catherine," she thought, as she brushed an imaginary speck of dust from the toe of one skate. "Then I'm sure they will be fine," he said, as he tucked them away in an old box Jamie had unearthed in a nest of tissue. "Well, when are you going to give them to her, Vincent?" Jamie asked in a slightly demanding tone. "When it is time, Miss Inquisitiveness," he said, as he crushed her in a gentle bear hug. "Well, I hope it's soon," Jamie continued. "It's been pretty hard keeping a secret, and keeping Mouse quiet has been the worst," she said dramatically. "And you've done very well, Jamie, for which I am most grateful," Vincent said softly. "Well," Jamie said with a small glow of pride, "I suppose I can keep him quiet a little longer. But it will be soon, won't it, Vincent?" "It will be soon, Jamie, I promise," Vincent said as he tucked the box beneath his arm and headed for the main passageway. "Ah, Vincent!" Jacob called out as Vincent's familiar form passed his chamber entrance. Cringing slightly, and with nowhere to hide the slightly shabby box containing Catherine's skates, Vincent paused, then entered Jacob's chamber. "I've been looking for you, my son. Come have a cup of tea." "You look as if you could use something warm," Jacob said, observing Vincent's heavy outer clothing. "Have you been above?" "Yes, father. Though it is quite cold, it is a beautiful night. Snowfall has transformed the park into a private world," Vincent answered. "Yes, to be sure. And what do you have in the box?" Jacob asked. Trying to think very carefully, Vincent paused, then said, "It is a Christmas gift for Catherine, Father. Sometimes it is very difficult to find something suitable for someone who has unlimited resources. But with Mouse and Jamie's help, I think I have found a gift she will like." Watching Jacob almost burst with curiosity, Vincent took pity and asked, "Would you care to see it, Father?"
"Well, of course, if you'd like to show it to me," Jacob replied, trying to appear nonchalant.
Removing the lid of the box, Vincent carefully pulled back the layers of tissue before removing the skates.
Very handsome. You're giving her ice skates for Christmas."
"Yes, Father. Mouse discovered them in some boxes sent below, and he and Jamie polished and sharpened them. I think Catherine will like them," he said, holding back a small laugh as he watched Jacob's quizzical look.
"Yes, yes, I'm sure she will. They're a very handsome gift, Vincent. But women are strange creatures. Has she ever actually mentioned wanting a pair of ice skates?" Jacob asked.
"Not really, Father, but I think she will like these," Vincent said, attempting to keep a straight face and thinking of how the skates would fit into his Christmas Eve plans.
"Well, whatever. But the reason I wanted to see you was because I found a little something I thought you might be able to use for Catherine's Christmas gift. It is a little late, but perhaps you can think of a way to use it," Jacob said as he opened a small drawer in his cluttered desk and removed a tiny, slightly faded blue satin bag. Pouring its contents into the palm of Vincent's hand, he continued, "It's silver, Vincent. Not a great deal, but real silver all the same. I've been saving it for a while. Actually, I forgot about it. But now I'd like you to have it for Catherine. She's been a good friend to all of us, and though there is little we can do in return other than be a kind of family for her, please take it with my blessing."
Happily surprised with Jacob's expansiveness, Vincent carefully slid the shining metal back into its bag, then put it away in a pocket beneath his cape. "Thank you, Father. I'm sure I'll find a way to put it to good use. And I know Catherine will be very pleased that you think so much of her," Vincent said, his mind already miles ahead, trying to think of a way to transform the precious metal into yet another Yuletide gift. Taking several sips of the steaming tea that Jacob had poured, he at last made his excuses and gave Jacob a quick hug before leaving his chamber. As Jacob sat, staring into his now tepid cup of tea, he ruffled his already tousled hair, muttering, "Ice skates! What could have possibly possessed him to think she'd want ice skates? She needs ice skates like a fish needs a bicycle." Rapidly heading in the direction of Mouse's chamber, Vincent was more than pleased to see Mouse himself, sauntering down the main passageway, hands in his pockets, his mind obviously on yet another gizmo that was bound to make Father cringe.
"Mouse, I was just on my way to see you."
Startled for a moment, Mouse stopped and then said,
"Vincent, see the skates? Think they're okay good?"
"More than just good, Mouse. They're perfect. Catherine will be very pleased." Mouse's thin, wistful face broke into a big grin, transforming him immediately into a confident young man.
"Glad you like, Vincent. Piece of cake," he said seriously.
Vincent held back a chuckle, realizing that Mouse had added yet another phrase to his somewhat limited vocabulary.
"Mouse, I know it's very short notice, but I have yet another project for you. Do you think you might have time to make a very small piece of jewellery for Catherine?"
Mouse thought for a moment. "Finish chest for Father to give Mary. Fix candle holder for Pascal to give Rebecca.
still have to finish Jamie's gift, but make time for Catherine, he said firmly. Always make time for Catherine. Vincent smiled and said, That is very generous of you, Mouse, and I really don't think this will take much time. Removing the small fabric bag from his pocket, he poured the shiny piece of metal into Mouse's hand. Mouse's lips formed a silent, Ooh. Real silver, Mouse. Father has given it to me as a gift for Catherine. What do you think we might do with it? Mouse's thin fingers stroked the shiny lump as he thought hard. Earrings, maybe? Pendant? No, Catherine just wears crystal, winter and summer. Could melt it down and then use gizmo Cullen gave me to make a snowflake, maybe. Catherine could wear on same chain with crystal, Vincent. A snowflake. A single silver snowflake. Mouse, I think it would be perfect. And since no two snowflakes are alike, whatever design you choose will be just right, Mouse. Vincent agreed. Mouse smiled. His thoughts already on melting the precious metal and working it into a delicate snowflake. Returning the silver to its faded little bag, Vincent pressed it into Mouse's slightly grubby gloved fingers. Staring down at the bag, Mouse squared his shoulders, taking the responsibility of the task Vincent had just entrusted to him and said, Mouse will bring to your chamber as soon as it's finished, for Catherine. Clapping Mouse's shoulder with his large furred hand, Vincent smiled and said, Thank you, Mouse, for Catherine. For Catherine, Mouse repeated solemnly as he watched Vincent's retreating form walk quickly down the rocky passageway. Last-minute preparations had made Catherine think that the day would never end, but at long last it was Christmas Eve, and she just tied the last ribbon on the packages she would take below. Most of her finds had already been delivered, and even now sat in all their paper and ribbon glory beneath a huge fragrant pine tree in the great hall, with its strands of popcorn and cranberries and small homemade candles. It was a sight to see. As she stowed away her last package in a large shopping bag, her gift for Vincent, she paused for a moment, imagining the pleasure that would light his azure blue eyes as he opened it. She had found a strange little shop below Fifth Avenue, an area she rarely shopped, but something had caught her eye in the dusty window, and so she had entered, and in a dimly lit showcase she had spied it immediately, resting in a faded red velvet box, slightly discoloured, but still beautiful. It was an ancient St. Christopher medal on a heavy gold chain, its length extra long, obviously having belonged to someone near Vincent's size. The shopkeeper watched her curiously, having had few calls for such a piece of jewellery. "He is the patron saint of travel, miss," he said in a quavery voice. "Sure to safeguard your journey." Catherine had smiled and agreed, and they had bargained, though not too seriously, for somehow he wanted her to have it, she of the fair hair and shining eyes, for of course it had to be for someone she loved. He had even polished it and found a more respectable box before accepting her money, then wished her a happy holiday as she left the shop, leaving behind the faint scent of spring flowers. Stirring from her reverie, Catherine gathered her things, for she would stay below tonight and wait to celebrate Christmas morning with her family. Adding a heavy coat and mittens, for Vincent had cautioned her to dress warmly for some special plan, she grabbed the shopping bag of small gifts, locked the door behind her, and headed quietly though joyously for her threshold, all the while humming jingle bells. It had been a lovely Christmas Eve below, a rich oyster stew served with William's crusty homemade bread, then cups of steaming hot tea and spicy ginger snaps before the fire. But Vincent could not help anxiously watching the battered clock in his chamber, waiting for the appointed time for their evening to begin. Catherine watched him silently, sometimes biting her lips to hold back a merry giggle, knowing he was on pins and needles waiting to surprise her. At last he stood, politely holding her coat and awkwardly attempting to help her with the soft woolly mittens he had pulled from her pockets. Leading her silently and swiftly down the main passageway, he stopped only once to retrieve an ancient duffel bag he had obviously hidden earlier, before they continued on their way to a seldom-used park entrance. Softly asking her to wait in the shadows, he disappeared through a rocky cleft, then reappeared wearing a secret smile. The park was deserted. All was ready. Quickly he led her through the passageway and across the frozen grass, now covered with snow, to the edge of a small pond, then sat her gently on an old log discreetly placed for seating. Then, almost shyly, he pulled the slightly worn box he had carried so carefully from the duffel bag and said, "Merry Christmas, Catherine." Quickly opening the box, she made a delighted sound as she pulled the ice skates from their wrappings. "Oh, Vincent, they're beautiful. I love them," she said happily. With trembling fingers, he removed her boots and laced up the skates, then pulled his own from the bag and swiftly laced them up. Pulling her to her feet, he asked, "Do you remember how, Catherine?" he said with a smile. Holding tightly to his arm, they carefully took a few steps onto the ice as she said, "I can do anything with you at my side, Vincent." Soon they were gliding gracefully around the edge of the pond, beneath a blue velvet sky sprayed with jeweled stars. At last, coming to rest in the centre of the shining ice, he pulled her close, gently brushing her flushed cheeks with his. Holding her tightly, he fished for the tiny satin bag Mouse had delivered to his chamber that day. Removing her mitten, he poured a glittering silver snowflake into her soft palm and said, "I wanted you to have something to remember this night, my lovely one. The snowflake will be the guardian of your crystal." Holding the lacy silver object tightly, she murmured, "I could never forget this magical evening, my love, and each snowfall will only remind me of you." Then, gently tipping her chin with his golden fingers and pulling her closer into an embrace that intensified the warmth of their bodies, he covered her mouth with his, tasting deeply of its sweetness as a shining flurry of crystal snowflakes fell softly to the earth below.